Who's broke? I don't know the reference. I mean, I know the song, but I don't know what your angle is here, Dan.
So teams that ain't got no first round draft picks are broke as fuck right now. Free agency's up and about. Guys are getting paid. If you're not paying guys, you're getting DeAndre Swift deal. But it is free agency's a flurry. We've seen some crazy movements. So if you ain't got no money, take your broke ass home.
Yeah, that's fair. And only seven teams have first round picks in our league. So there's a lot of broke asses.
Yep. But we're back. We back, baby. We back. Little Friday Night Pod.
We are. We're recording this on Friday. I think I'm going to drop it on a Monday. I feel like that'll get like the most traction. So if anything crazy happens these next couple days, that's why we didn't go over it.
Yeah, it's just what life is.
Yeah. But Dan, how you been? It's been a hot minute. It's been like a month since our last podcast. How's life been for you?
I mean, looking at NFL NFL free agency, baseball's in full swing. Ronald Acuña Jr. was back on the field the other day. I mean, we in it right now. We getting ready for some fun stuff, but life's been good, man. You?
I'm doing well, yeah. I mean, things are always chaotic, but it's good chaotic.
Two boys running around like crazy.
Yeah, they keep us on our toes. But no, everything's good. I mean, I don't know about anyone else, but like for me, like once like the fantasy playoffs wrap up, like I get pretty burnt out with fantasy and I need like just even the idea of doing a podcast is like too much for me. So I need like the break, but now like free agency. And then last night after the Bears got Keenan Allen, like I am jazzed and ready to go. Like I'm excited. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a lot of excitement right now. So it just means we got to capitalize on this because then we got 6 weeks until the draft.
I will say this though. I was scrolling through Twitter, and you know the movie Big Daddy, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Where he's like, it's a video of Adam Sandler as the Chargers and Keenan Allen as little Julian. It's like, I'll be good. I won't watch a Kangaroo song no more. And like you see the social worker and it's just a fucking Bears face over his face. And it's like, no, please don't make me do it. It was funny, but I fucking love that Keenan Allen's in Chicago. I love that he's going to be there. And then obviously I'll give kudos to our side chat where the meme got sent out of Denzel Washington at the end of training day. Like watching the Bears build around Caleb Williams. You motherfuckers. Like,
yeah, Justin Fields. Yeah. We're going to, yeah. So that's kind of like segues a little bit. We're going to talk about some free agency stuff that happened or maybe hasn't happened yet. We're going to do our first round mock draft for our league. And these are going to be picks, Dan, that we would make. Might not be what the actual players would, teams would do, but you know, we're going to use our almighty wisdom to tell these teams what they should do. And then we're going to recap a few teams and talk about like how their teams are sitting right now, what their offseason might have in store for them, and maybe what are some things that we could expect in the coming months from them to happen.
Sound good? Let's go.
But before we start, Dan, I've got a story to tell you. And I teased you a little bit on this.
Oh, all right. All right, let's go. Let's story time. Right.
So we got to go back in time like about a month ago at the last podcast. You know, normally our routine is we record the podcast, you know, we end and then Dan, like you sign off and then I edit the podcast very minimally and upload it to the site, which is through Spotify, and wait for it to upload and then schedule an upload date and then I go to sleep. But an interesting thing happened when I tried to do the last podcast.
God. All right.
So I couldn't log in. And like I tried doing like the password reset, you know, like I was waiting and like, you know, some sites like, you know, you don't get the password right away or it like takes, you know, goes, I'm checking my spam filter, I'm checking everything and nothing's coming up. And I'm trying a few other things. And finally, I see like this is like 10 o'clock at night, but they're like live chats available. So I'm like, OK, well, I'm going to talk to someone. Maybe they can help me. I'm talking to this nice person and they're like, well, you know, that's weird. But, you know, answer a few questions. We can get your account back. I was like, great. Give me a few standard questions, you know, like the, you know, confirm your email, you know, your account login, confirm like a podcast that you've done, a few things like that. Like I go through all the hoops. They finally give me the info. And then they ask like, oh, is your email? And it was something like nickweir123@yahoo.com. And I'm like, nope, that's not my email. And they're like, oh, okay, well, we can change it. And I was like, okay. So they change it, you know, to my default email, which is at Gmail. And all right, I'm like, thanks for the help. Glad I got it. And then I log in. And I log in, and there's an odd thing that I noticed right away, because I can't really show up, but it says like the, on your main page, it shows like your podcast, like analytics, and shows like, you know, how many people listened, you know, how much plays per episode, the last episode, kind of fun data for stuff like that. You know, for me, it's not really applicable because it's, you know, 10 guys maybe listening to the podcast. But we have like over 100 episodes, and all of a sudden I look, the total plays for my, for this entire podcast run, 153,000. So my initial reaction is like, what? Like, did we like blow up? Like, is someone like, you know, trolling us? Like, what happened?
Okay.
So I'm like freaking out. And then I like click on like the monetization tab, and all of a sudden it's like, congratulations, for the month you've earned $4,500. And I'm like, what? I'm like mind blown at this. And then like I dig a deep a step further, I can look at like the ads, and there's like 3 ads that are created on the account. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, I didn't do this.
Did we get sponsored by Tito's?
No, we did not. So I listen to the ads, and it's like some, you know, sounds like, you know, foreigner, you know, maybe Middle Eastern, I don't know, reading like a generic ad for like Microsoft. It's like, try like the new Microsoft like laptop or blah, 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 blah. And it's just like reading it verbatim. And I'm like, huh. And then I'm looking at like the podcast, like analytics more. And I see like everyone, like there's so many people across the world that have listened to it. And I'm like, okay, this dude fucking like sold the account to like, or like had bots listen to it, padded the numbers, and got like a quick $5,000. Yeah. So then I like reach back out to Spotify, because I'm like, I don't want to like lose my account. Like, we have like over 100 episodes. Like, I want to keep this together. And like they looked into it, and they're like, oh yeah, this is a thing. People like, they just take access to people's account that have a lot of episodes that don't really have a lot of listeners, and then they have bots listen to it and get a quick payday. I'm like, ugh. For a second I thought we made it, Dan. Fuck,
man. Dude, that was, we were there for the whole 60 seconds that you were going through the story, and my emotional roller coaster was like, oh,
yeah.
All right. Well, fuck, yeah, so I still got to work my day job.
You still do. We cannot retire or even
just do this full time. God damn it.
No. But, you know, for that 5 seconds, I felt like we made it. I was really optimistic.
I'll just put this out there. We have made it, man. This is a great fucking quality time together. Just shooting shit, talking sports. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be nice to be able to split fucking $4,500. But Ruth, you're out. Like, sorry. Like, you haven't been here in a fucking hot minute. You're done. You've been
cut. Yeah. That was in like 2 weeks. So like, that would have been cool. But
that would have been a hot. That would have been, yeah.
Maybe we'll get there someday. But anyways, that was my story. Awesome. Pretty crazy. But now let's get back to the important stuff, talk about some news, and excuse me, NFL free agency started, and it's been an interesting one. Last year, I felt like there was no running back action. This year, running back action galore. You know, DeAndre Swift, Tony Pollard, Derrick Henry, you know, so many guys on the move, Aaron Jones, Josh Jacobs. I mean, let's just start there. Like, what is your first take with all these running backs on the move? I'm sure I forgot someone.
Saquon Barkley would be one of those. I mean, just so the first thing that's how many guys went in division?
And yeah, you saw
a lot of them just literally like, oh, cool, you're going to replace me with this? Well, I'm going to go here. Oh, well, we got to play you twice a year. I fucking hate that the Packers got Josh Jacobs. I fucking do not like that. I love that Derrick Henry now officially has an offensive line to run behind. And that he has Lamar Jackson. That run pass option is going to be fucking insane. And yeah. Jerry gets a big win in that. I really like Aaron Jones going up to Minnesota. I think that's good for his fantasy stock. The Tajay Spears might have taken a down hit with Tony Pollard coming there. But yep. I think they're going to play the hot hand with whoever is the guy that's going to be hot and bothered. AJ Dillon getting re-signed with Green Bay, I think, is almost fantasy irrelevant. Just because Josh Jacobs, I think, is going to be the guy.
Yep.
But, I mean, just so many big names. I mean, DeAndre Swift, for as much as he sucks at pass blocking, does bring a dynamic piece to the Bears offense
yep.
that we can get. This free agency for running back, I mean, and we knew running backs weren't going to be tagged for the most part. Like, we were going to see some movement. But holy shit, did this fucking escalate rapidly. And I was a massive fan of watching all of this move on.
For sure. And then we didn't even mention a few guys. Austin Eckler's on the Commies. We've got Devin Singletary with the Giants. Gus Edwards is on the Chargers. Antonio Gibson is with the Patriots. Houston, they traded for Joe Mixon. Not Joe Mixon, agent.
Love that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think this is crazy. I mean, yeah, I think Derrick Henry is probably the funnest one just because that's Lamar and that Baltimore team. And Dan's already three.
No, that was the coaster stuck to the fucking bottom of the copper mug with my Moscow Mule, and I did not realize that I picked it up. So anyways, let's go ahead and continue.
Yeah, but no, I was going to say Derrick Henry is probably like my favorite one. I feel like that's just a fun fit with that Baltimore team, and good luck trying to stop that offense within like the 10-yard line. Too many weapons, Lamar and Henry, that's just deadly.
And imagine if you like Lamar pulls it back. Now you have to worry about Mark Andrews, OBJ, like you have all these different pieces that really make this offense they crazy. Flowers, it all starts with and it all starts with the fact that you got a guy like Derrick Henry, and you have to play him as enemy number one in the goal line.
Big time. Yeah.
Especially being a Mixon owner, like I love what Houston's doing with that offense.
Yeah, I mean, I think Mixon is at the end of his career, but like the Texans don't agree with that because they signed him to a 3-year deal, traded for him. Like he's unquestionably gonna be the guy. Like fantasy wise, I think he's gonna be pretty awesome.
Yep. The other one I really like, and I hate to say it as a Bears fan, but Josh Jacobs in fucking Green Bay is fucking awesome.
Yeah, I mean they're good at running the ball. And I don't think Josh Jacobs is as good as Aaron Jones, but Aaron Jones has kind of been, you know, last year he was really beat up of late. So as long as Jacobs stays healthy, he's probably going to be a stud.
The whole running back room has been fun, and especially in a year where we don't see a lot of top tier running back talent coming out of the draft.
Yeah, big time.
And I think that was a lot of what the NFL realized. So there was this huge, massive scramble to be like, how can we get our guy and how quickly can we get him? And let's fucking figure our shit out. And it went fast.
It did. Absolutely. I mean, running backs were the first really thing to sign in free agency. Has not happened in a while like that.
Yeah, love to see it.
All right, switching gears to wide receivers. We saw a few kind of re-sign right away. T. Higgins was franchise tagged. Pittman and Evans re-upped with the Colts and Buccaneers respectively. But we saw a few guys on the move. Hollywood Brown is now a Chief. Calvin Ridley is now a Tennessee Titan. Darnell Mooney is a Falcon. Gabe Davis is a Jaguar. Curtis Samuel is a Buffalo Bill. We kind of mentioned it earlier, not a free agent, but Keenan Allen is now a Chicago Bear. What is your kind of takeaway on this wide receiver carousel, Dan?
All right, so let's start with the elephant in the room. So I'm just going to point out that this wide receiver class is very, 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 very good.
And we're is that an elephant in the room?
No. The elephant in the room is what the fucking Tennessee Titans did. Can you explain any logic into that shit for me?
Hey, you gotta. I mean, I think the only logic you can explain to that is they have a young quarterback in Will Levis that I think they. I don't know if they know if he's the guy, but also you can't like Justin Fields him and give him like nothing for 2 years. So I give them credit for Ridley was probably the best wide receiver on the market. You know, that ate it. So I think it makes complete sense wanting to get him. It seems like it was way too much, but kudos to Ridley to get in the bag.
Oh, yeah. 100. Dude got paid. And you love to see that. But the fact that a 24-year-old A.J. Brown can't get that kind of contract to stay in Tennessee, either Tennessee didn't see it in him or they're just desperate at this point in time to say, hey, okay, we kind of fucked up. We probably should have signed this guy. DeAndre Hopkins is great and everything like that, but we might need something else.
I think that's why the old guy got fired and the new guy was like, yeah, we need a wide receiver. So that team is definitely going through a transition. And I mean, like I said, I'm glad that they're giving Will Levis weapons. And, you know, I don't know if he's the answer or not, but if he has weapons, you can't use that as an excuse to say he needs help. Like, yep. Ridley's a good wide receiver.
Oh, yeah. The Mike Evans signing, I think, was that I think had to happen to make the Baker Mayfield piece like really come to fruition. And I mean, Evans, 10 straight years over 1,000 yards, and he did the last one with Baker. I mean, as a Buccaneers, you run kind of that back and say, hey, we're going to prove it again. And I really like that Evans is in the same spot where he is, and he's getting his. But I will say, I fucking love that the Bears got Keenan Allen. I fucking love that.
Yeah.
If you're talking about a guy like Caleb Williams coming in and being able to have these offensive weapons like Cincinnati did with Joe Burrow. Mm-hmm. And if you can keep Caleb Williams or Justin Fields, whoever the guy might be, and I mean, who knows, but if you can keep them upright with the weapons you have with Gerald Everett and some of the other pieces you signed around it, I fucking love what the Bears' options are.
Yeah, for Caleb Williams, I love it. I think for Keenan Allen, like, short term, it's probably a downtick just because it's a rookie. You know, they might not fully trust him to, like, unleash, you know, a passing attack. Especially, you know, Shane Waldron coming from that Seattle background. They're a little bit more run happy. But I think, you know, if Caleb Williams is the guy, like, there's no reason that Keenan Allen can't be an awesome player, you know, still in a Chicago Bears uniform, which is fucking incredible as a Bears fan.
Yeah, I mean, he's just got to stay healthy. I mean, you look at Mike Williams, who's coming off of, what, he tears ACL last year?
Yeah, I believe so. Yep.
I mean, he's obviously got released. Did he sign yet or no?
No, last I heard, I think he's visiting the Panthers, like, either today or tomorrow. So that could potentially be a good fit. You know, get Bryce Young some weapons. You know, novel concept. You know, if you have a young quarterback.
Adam Thielen was a good start, but Adam Thielen is not the answer.
No, absolutely not.
But,
so,
I mean, it's interesting, just, again, to go there. It's this wide receiver class is really going to be kind of the epitome of what we're going to see, I think, early and often in this draft.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's also just reflective. I feel like 10 years ago, we saw teams that was like, maybe they had one good wide receiver, but now, like, everyone has like two or three. Like, if you don't have more than two pass catchers, like, you kind of feel like you're in a shit spot unless you are Patrick Mahomes.
And arguably, Hollywood Brown is probably the best things that's happened to Patrick Mahomes in the last 3 years. Travis Kelce was already there. But this is a guy that can take the top off of defense, can run himself open. And I'm not saying that Kyler Murray wasn't. I mean, we all know my opinion on Kyler Murray. But giving Mahomes a guy that could probably run himself open is a very exciting thing that could really take a lot of pressure off of Travis Kelce, some of these wide receivers that aren't necessarily developed, and help the run game as well.
Yeah, I mean, Brown's brief stint, 2 years in the Cardinals, was kind of up and down. I think him and Kyler started off super hot 2 years ago, and then Kyler tore his ACL, and then the following year Kyler was coming back from the ACL, and Hollywood was kind of dealing with injuries. But I think Hollywood is a prime bounce back candidate, and who knows, you know, with that 1 year deal, he might be another free agent to watch next year.
It's a prove back it deal.
Somewhere else.
Yeah, it's for a prove sure. It deal.
All right, and then the last things to kind of touch base on is the quarterback carousel. The biggest one, obviously, is, you know, Kirk Cousins. He's going from the Vikings to the Atlanta Falcons. And then we saw, you know, Baker Mayfield re-up with the Bucks. Russell Wilson, he's a Pittsburgh Steeler and the starter, presumably. And then some intriguing kind of backup action. You know, Gardner Minshew signed a hefty deal with the Raiders. Jacoby Brissett signed a solid deal with the Patriots. Tyrod Taylor signed a backup deal with the Jets. You know, if Rodgers is a vice presidential candidate, maybe he retires, and we'll see. And then, you know, a few other guys we saw in the movie, you know, Kenny Pickett get traded. We saw Sam Howell get traded. We're still waiting to see what the Bears do with Desmond Ridder traded. We're still waiting to see what happens with Justin Fields. There's been a lot of action on the quarterback side. But let's talk about Kirk Cousins, because he's obviously the biggest one. How's the impact for the Falcons? And then, I mean, what does this do to Justin Jefferson?
I mean, when you look at the things that are there, I mean, Kirk Cousins goes down, and I don't necessarily know if he gets better talent going to Atlanta. But I don't think it's a bad landing spot. He gets a Kyle Pitts.
A great spot.
He gets a Drake London. He has a Bijan Robinson. It's a really potent offense that for the last couple of years has been stagnant, has been damn near irrelevant. And it's funny watching Kyle Pitts go, hey, man, you want number 8? Cool, just throw me the fucking ball.
But, yeah.
Like, and Cousins like, I'll pay you for it. He's like, no, dude, just fucking throw me the ball. Like, fucking make me relevant again. And there's a lot of good weapons. And Atlanta plays in a division that is very, very gettable and doesn't really have a dominant team. The Saints have been all right. The Buccaneers have been decent. Again, we saw a good year from Baker Mayfield. Carolina's working on figuring their shit out. But the fact that this could very well push this team over the top, you got to love it if they can get the best out of Bijan Robinson and maximize everything there. And, I mean, you move on from Justin Jefferson, you know, TJ Hockenson, Jordan Addison. Obviously, now you see a Aaron Jones go there. I can't wait for Sam Darnold to fuck all that up. Like, that's – I mean, am I not wrong?
Well, I think you might see a rookie fuck that up.
Well,
maybe you'll see Sam Darnold fuck it up for 2 to 3 weeks, but it's – seems clear the Vikings want a rookie, right?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think the Commanders getting Marcus Mariota, I really liked. I thought that was a good play. I still think Jameis Winston could have a very, very good shot of starting over Deshaun Watson for as much as they paid him. I know I'm going to take a lot of flack for that, but at least the guy can fucking go out and sling the ball.
Yeah, I mean, they signed him, you know, do a 1 year, $4 million deal. So it's not bad, but it's not. I mean, it's less than Sam Darnold. It's less than Drew Lock. It's less than Brissett. I think it's a good get for Cleveland, just having that backup option.
Garoppolo going to the Rams is just a straight up backup play. We saw a lot of these backup guys move. I think Gardner Minshew does have a shot at being the guy in Oakland. And Oakland very well could take a rookie and say, hey, like, we're going to have an open competition, but Gardner, like, you kind of 1A, and the guy we're going to bring in is 1B. I think that who's the young kid they had last year? I'm blanking on his name right now.
Aiden O'Connell.
Yeah, O'Connell. I don't know if they're bought into O'Connell or if they're going to let those two guys duke it out and go from there, but a lot of backup pieces or challenger circuit QBs were on the move, and I don't think it's going to be a huge shakeup, but with how many injuries we saw last year at the quarterback position, having a good backup is kind of super relevant to being able to stay competing in the NFL.
Yeah, it's the most important position. It's hard to argue with that. I think it'll be interesting to see how the rookie situation plays out, because presumably the Bears, the Commanders, the Patriots are going to have quarterbacks. And then that leaves, what, like maybe one or two other options for teams like
Denver,
Minnesota, maybe the Giants, you know. I don't know.
We'll go through this. Raiders, how many QBs do you think are taken in the first round of the NFL draft?
I think 4 this year, at least.
I'm going to go with 5. I think we're going to see a reach for somebody.
Yeah, I mean, I think obvious. Well, we can kind of transition to that. We're going to do our rookie mock draft. But, I mean, I think obviously you have Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May. And now it seems like J.J. McCarthy, like those 4 seem not just like super safe, but like top 10 safe.
I think he falls to 11 at Denver, but I think we might see, I don't think we're going to see a, man, that screen's fucking bright. I don't think we're going to, we might see a Bo Nix sneak in. I don't know if Michael Penix Jr. Will get in there, but 4, I still feel like Bo Nix is going to find a sneaky way to get in. So I'm going to go with 5 just to be safe.
Yeah, I think Nix might get Levist. He'll, you know, maybe he goes in the end of the first, but maybe he goes like top of the second. But either way, I mean, I think 4 guys are going to go. And when 4 guys go potentially in the top 10, that means it's going to be a really, really strong super flex rookie draft. And, you know, when we start, you know, Steve, obviously, he has 6 of the first 12 picks. A lot of those are in the back half of the first round, but still 6 picks, you know, with potentially 4, maybe even 5 first-round quarterbacks drafted in those first 12 picks, means you're going to see a lot of talented players fall or become available later. So it's really exciting. I mean, how obviously the quarterbacks, wide receivers are good, Dan, but like, how do you feel about this rookie class? You've got the seventh pick, obviously, so I'm sure you're doing a little bit of research.
Sorry, I'm switching screens around. I'm trying to fucking get this lighting so it doesn't look like a fucking oil over my face. I mean, those are the two positions that I think we have to watch. The running back situation, I think, is going to be very location dependent, especially with how many running backs we saw on the move.
Yeah.
The tight end room is tiny.
Yeah.
So to speak, I think maybe there might be at most three big names that we're going to see. But how deep wide receivers are and how relevant 5, 6, maybe 7 QBs could be if Spencer Rattler ends up in an interesting spot. But that's where we're going to see a lot of this go. So I feel like a lot of the first 12 picks are going to be, I think we're going to see 5, 6 quarterbacks go in this first round. I think we're going to see
six
might be a little rough. I think there's going to be 5. So 5 of the 12 will be QBs. I think we're going to see at least 5 wide receivers with 1 running back and 1 tight end.
Yeah, that's probably a safe bet.
5, 5, 1, and 1. That is, just forecasting the talent that's in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if we see maybe some guys move picks because of the relevancy and they can get an experienced talent and move on from something that could become, especially for teams that are likely to compete.
All right. I like the little teaser. Well, let's, should we start things off with a Steve on the clock at 1.1?
Yeah, you go ahead and start us.
So, I mean, I know this was maybe debate like early on, but I think the runaway like pick in super flex leagues, it's got to be Caleb Williams. I think he's one of the most talented quarterbacks in recent kind of memory. Going, you know, first overall, it's pretty rare for a quarterback to go first overall after being like the consensus guy for 2+ years. I don't think that's happened more than like 3 times the last 15 years. So Caleb Williams is a pretty special talent, won the Heisman. You know, I think he's going to be the Chicago Bears pick end of April. And I think you look at the situation he's going to with what the Bears have around him, you know, and DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, DeAndre Swift, Cole Kmet, Gerald Everett, you know, potentially maybe a rookie wide receiver as well. It's a very, and a improving offensive line. I mean, I think it's a very desirable spot. So for me, it's Caleb Williams, and it's a pretty easy call.
I do not at all whatsoever disagree with you. All right, so that means I pick it 2, right?
You do. You're up at 2. Zane is on the clock.
So I'm going to look at Zane's roster and be like, all right, so all I have is Jordan Love.
Yep.
And understanding what could happen at the second overall pick, there's a lot of different pieces that could play into QB being the next 2. And then obviously we have the number 1 wide receiver still on the board.
Yep.
But you've got a T. Higgins. You've got a Drake London. You've got a Christian Watson. So for me, I think the best pick, and I think he's probably going to be the guy that goes number 2 overall, give me Jaden Daniels.
Okay.
I think Drake May could be very interesting depending on his landing spot, but the amount of Jaden Daniels talk that's really coming on with this,
uh-huh,
I think makes him kind of a hype guy, and I could be reading into the hype too much, but if he lands in, because who's picking it 2? That is
the Commanders,
and Marcus Mariota is there, so you might see an immediate return. The Patriots guy, depending on who they pick, is going to be a starter. So if that's Drake May, if Daniels falls 1 spot, I think he's relevant. I really feel good that if Daniels falls to the Pats, that probably is the easiest pick for Zane to make.
So for Daniels, he's just the guy, it seems like, no matter what, as long as he goes top 3, he's going to be your number 2.
That's how I would lean at the current moment with everything I read, that I follow, that I do all this. The amount of traction that he's really getting is, I think, call me fucking bitter, but the last North Carolina quarterback that came out was kind of a bust.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Jaden Daniels proven himself at LSU, and he has the running dynamic to his game.
Yeah, the running dynamic is absolutely huge. That's something that no one comes close to what his ceiling is. So that's, you know, a pretty big appeal. Okay, I definitely buy that. I mean, I think starting with like the second pick, like from pick 2 to like pick 4, I think you could like shuffle these up in any order. Like, I think it's pretty much up for grabs. Like, wherever you want to go, you can go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm up with the third pick, and Chris is on the clock. And Chris is in a really tough spot because I think, you know, the question is Marvin Harrison Jr., or do you take another quarterback, likely Drake May? Chris obviously has C.J. Stroud, who is spectacular, had a fantastic rookie year, and, you know, is probably set up to have a fantastic year two in Houston. But Bryce Young, it was not the best rookie year, but also he did go first overall. So set the second year for a quarterback's usually offer like the biggest kind of leap for them. I don't know. I think this is kind of just how maybe Chris operates, but I think the pick's probably Marvin Harrison Jr. Chris doesn't have much picks in this year's draft. He's just got a first, a second, and a fourth. But next year, he's got two firsts as well. I mean, Chris is really in a tough spot. You know, we'll touch base on him more. But gun to my head, I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is the pick.
I absolutely would kind of agree with that mindset. You have two young rookie QBs. Putting the third one on the roster is great, and you hope that two of the three of them pan out. Obviously, we didn't see the year we wanted in Bryce Young.
Yeah.
But getting a guy that can really build that wide receiver room for Chris, where MVS is not there, Patrick's not there. Yeah, you got Jamar Chase. But outside of that, you really don't. Zay Flowers, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think MHJ is 100% a really, really, really good overall pick.
All right. Take us over to number four for Stefan's pick.
So Stefan via Adam.
Yep.
And I think you're Stefan, you're kind of disappointed MHJ went here. But yep. On the flip side, you have an interesting predicament in Dak Prescott right now with the recent allegations. Baker gets reassigned. Joe Flacco's backing up Anthony Richardson. This is an easy Drake May pick. This 100% says, I'm going to get a guy that's going to go somewhere, and I can build depth and youth with Baker not being my long-term option potentially. But I think Drake May is 100% the easy pick here when MHJ goes right before you.
Yeah, I think for Stefan, like this pick, whether he picks it or he trades it, I think it needs to be to get a quarterback. Dak Prescott, I think he's a great fantasy option. Baker Mayfield, I mean, I know he had a good year, but like there's a reason I think Baker Mayfield kind of has bounced around a bit of his career. And, you know, is he going to be more in like the Geno Smith mold and be fine? Or is he going to be like Daniel Jones and his team's going to regret it? You know, now that Canales is gone and in Carolina, like he doesn't have his QB whisperer this year. So I don't know. Either way, he doesn't have a third backup option. So I think Drake May is a very safe pick and probably the right call for Stefan here.
Yep. All right. You get five with Mr. Appelhans back on the clock.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think for Steve, like this can really be best player available. I think Steve could take Brock Bowers here. I think he could take a wide receiver. He could take another quarterback if he wanted. I think for me, JJ McCarthy is probably going to go in the top 10, but I understand it's, you know, he's a guy that Michigan didn't ask to do a lot. And those guys are hard to get excited about because you're betting on the traits and like the team that he goes to. I think for me, and I think just for Steve, for all the picks that he has, like I'd rather get like a little bit of a safer bet because Steve has had a crap ton of picks and he's had like, you know, how you normally would expect rookie picks to go. He's had a lot of hits and he's had a lot of busts. But I think you take a guy like Malik Nabers, who looks just like a very, very safe option at the wide receiver position, is going to be a top 10 pick, potentially could land in like a very good spot. Like if he's with the Chargers, you know, he's now Justin Herbert's number one guy. You know, maybe he goes in Chicago and he's like Caleb Williams, like long term, like number one option. But I think Nabers is the pick that makes the most sense for Steve here.
It's really hard as we get into this middle section of this draft. I think anywhere yeah. outside of where we get to five and we probably get down to 8, 9
yeah.
might be just straight up best player available, best fit for the team, kind of roll the dice kind of shit. And I think that's where it gets a little interesting to talk about where we think guys can go, especially when we talk about guys like J.J. McCarthy, Malik Nabers, Brock Bowers, Xavier Worthy, like a lot of these like interesting players that are really deep in depth on this draft.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, still a lot of great pieces too. So it's, you know, a nice spot to be in when you're picking here with Steve and now Kevin and then yourself on the clock shortly.
Yeah, I mean, and Kevin's pick here via Jerry is kind of a really interesting spot because Kevin has Kevin could go multiple different ways here. Kevin really only has potentially a starting quarterback on his roster. Depending on what Washington does, Howell's going to be competing against Geno for the starting job. Bennett's older than my fucking grandma. Aiden O'Connell is going to be challenged for his job. So for me, I think Kevin does have to sit here and go, as much as I want additional depth in other places, I'm probably going to have to go J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, I think it's hard to argue. I mean, Kevin, he's got a lot of seconds, and this is a deep wide receiver class. So I think Kevin can have some fun with those second round picks. He's got four of them, it looks like. But Kevin, you know, we talked about him a lot last year, and we'll talk about him shortly. But he's, you know, kind of been up and down with rebuilding, you know, contending. And because of that, he doesn't really have like a stable quarterback environment. So I think if you have a chance to get a top 10 quarterback at pick six, like that's a pretty safe bet in Dynasty. So I like the pick.
Yep. All right. So crazy enough, and this is where, like, with me telling you to start, this is where life gets a little interesting, not forecasting this, but you've got my pick now.
I've got your pick. Yeah. And you're interesting. I mean, I think it really, like, with how this board fell, I think there's really two guys left in the tier. And that's going to be either Brock Bowers or Rome Odunze. And either one, I think, makes a ton of sense for your squad. Tight end maybe makes a little bit more sense just because Gerald Everett, you know, is kind of splitting reps with, you know, Cole Kmet now in Chicago. But at the same time, like, you know, a wide receiver helps your team when you look at some of your less sort of flex options. I think for me, you know, without knowing landing spots, but like, there's rumors Bowers could end up like in the Colts. You know, that would be hard, I feel like, for you to pass up, you know, pair with your boy, you know, Anthony Richardson. So I'm going to go with Brock Bowers for you here. I think, you know, in a tight end premium league, and I think Bowers is someone that, because of how deep like this quarterback class is and wide receiver class is, he's kind of going under the radar. But I think, you know, when rookie drafts start up in the beginning of May, I don't think that's going to be the case. So I don't know. I'm going to give you Bowers here.
Yeah, there's a lot of pie in the sky pieces that I hope fall. And I think Bowers 100% is one of them, especially depending on his landing spot where it gets really exciting. But I mean, just a generational talent. He might not be as talented as Kyle Pitts, but I think if he's in the right landing spot, he could outproduce him with no problem.
Agreed.
I mean, so obviously this is going to be the Steve run.
Here. Yeah, Steve's got four in a row, but you'll start us off. Where's he going?
I think this is best player available, Odunze. Yeah. Like this is an easy Rome pick. This is a guy that's best player available. Give me the depth. Give me star talent. His landing spot, I think, is going to be good no matter where he kind of goes in the NFL draft, and he's going to be a guy that can produce. So I think this is the easy, like, last layup pick that we might have at eight.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think that is the layup pick as well. And I think with Steve back on the clock, I agree it's best player available. And I think, you know, there's a consensus, obviously, with the top three wide receivers in Marvin Harrison Jr., Nabers, and Odunze. But I think there's a consensus with the fourth option as well. And I think it's going to be Brian Thomas, a Nabers LSU teammate. Looks like he's going to be a guy that goes anywhere in the teens to like the 20s in the first round of the NFL draft. And I think, you know, for Steve, it's best player available. It's hard to pass that up.
Agreed. I mean, obviously we've got a lot of floating pieces here, and I think at where Steve goes at 10, pending him not moving any of this.
Yeah.
I think this is where we see the first running back go off the board, and I'll take Jonathan Brooks here.
Okay.
And I think this is just a move to get depth at the position. And for Steve, you have Achain. Tajay Spears takes a hit with the signing of Tony Pollard.
Yep.
But outside of that, there's no additional running back depth here. So throwing a pick here in the middle of this to be competitive and hope you get a guy, I think makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, no, it's hard to argue with that. I mean, I do think when push comes to shove, there is going to be a running back that goes in the first round. And I think you're right, Steve, because Steve has so many picks. And I'm not saying Steve is going to be a contender like this upcoming year, but Steve is like kind of on the Sam track. Like this team could get more competitive quicker than you might expect if these young guys kind of produce a little bit quicker than maybe they would normally do. I think for this last pick, again, wide receiver is probably the best player available, but I think this is kind of the roll the dice. You have so many picks if you're Steve. You know, if Bo Nix is the Will Levis, you know, he did it last year. Why don't you do it again if Nix goes in the late first or early second? So I'll give him Nix here. It's purely because of the position, purely because I'm expecting him to get relatively premium draft capital. So I do think the wide receivers are probably a better bet. But I think if a quarterback hits, like, that's just way more important and valuable. And I think with how Steve has kind of been doing things of late, I think this just makes a ton of sense.
I agree. I think there's having depth at the most important position that we have, where we start two QBs, we have this. His landing spot could really dictate how soon he goes in this draft. Because if his landing spot is a little bit better than J.J. McCarthy's, I mean, scroll the McCarthy pick down, bump Bo Nix.
Yeah, absolutely. Draft capital is king at the end of the day.
So all obviously right. I was picked 12. Yeah, yes, so Zane. Zane's back on the clock. And obviously Zane went quarterback to start. And when we look at Zane's roster and what we have available and what sits on the board, I think it's between two wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
So Adonai Mitchell and Xavier Worthy. And
yeah.
I wouldn't hate taking a flyer on the guy that has the record for the 4-2-1 40-yard dash. And if Xavier Worthy can find himself in a good spot, I think this I'm banking on Xavier Worthy's speed to really make him dynamic. So I think Zane takes maybe a stretch with it, but I think Xavier Worthy is a pick here for Zane.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's completely fair. I think Worthy, Mitchell, I mean, you could even go further. Guys like Franklin, McConkey, Coleman, like wide receivers just so deep. There's so many options. I think you're right. It's hard to bet on the guy that has the elite trait and its speed. And if he lands like in a, you know, end of the first round, you know, I doubt the Chiefs will take him, but who knows? You know, maybe the Lions would take him. The Lions need a wide receiver, like the Bills. I don't know. So there's some like sexy spots for Xavier Worthy to land in, and we know the NFL values speed. So I think it's probably the right call.
I mean, I think like low key, dude, I think we have a really, really solid, like what to anticipate rookie draft here. And obviously trades are going to impact this, but I'm a fan.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's pretty, you know, good. I mean, I think also, you know, we'll see how the NFL draft plays out. Right. Because that's obviously all that matters, but like, it feels like things are more like cut and dry than they are usually. Like, I feel like 2 years ago, like Treylon Burks was like the 1.1 and he like then went like 22nd overall in like the draft of the Titans, you know, like we just, and that could happen here. Like maybe Drake May goes further than we think, you know, maybe Adunze goes in the teens or something like that. But if things go according to plan, like it seems like the first like 10 or so picks are pretty easy to make.
With how free agency's been, I wouldn't be surprised if there's some aggressive teams that want to increase their draft position. I mean, we watched obviously Minnesota make a trade to get up to number 23. Yep. Are we going to watch 23 turn into a low teens pick to jump Denver to get a quarterback situational move? So I think
they're picking at 11 by default, so they are ahead of the Broncos. But it could be an arms race between the Broncos, because the Vikings have 11 and 23 now.
They got 11? The
yeah, that's their original pick.
Oh, I thought that would belong to Denver. That's on me.
No, Denver is the 12th pick, but still, okay. I mean, I think
either way,
to expand on your point and make you look good, I think you were trying to say that the Broncos and Vikings are competing for quarterbacks, and yes. I think it's no secret Peyton probably wants a rookie quarterback. Mm-hmm. Who knows who, but one of those teams are going to have to move up into the top 10, maybe even top 5 to make it a reality.
It's going to be fun to watch this year's NFL draft. It's going to be very, very, very fun.
Yeah, and I will still firming up the details, but I might be going in person to it.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah, it's. I think might go out by Sam and check it out, so that could be fun.
Oh, that would be fucking awesome, dude.
All right, well, anything else on this rookie draft kind of mock draft before we move on to some talking about some teams?
So the one question I ask you is how many more picks do you think outside of what with the 12 we just picked are first-round worthy talent?
Like first-round talent in like a dynasty perspective?
Yeah, like anybody that we could switch out of this, depending on landing spots and some other stuff that you think could be first-round relevant.
I think there's still probably another like 3 to 5 guys, especially with just how deep this wide receiver class is. We see it quite literally every year. The early second round in dynasty drafts always has still elite to very good wide receivers that are still available. And if this draft is going to potentially have 5 quarterbacks that go in the first round of rookie drafts, a tight end, we don't know who, but there is going to be at least one running back, maybe even 2 that goes. It means like in this historically deep wide receiver class, there's going to be some guys that fall to not just the early second, but maybe even the mid second. So yeah, I think there's still, I think the second round looks pretty good in this year's draft. We'll see how landing spot obviously plays out, but like you look at some of these big boards, like there's 12 wide receivers in like the top 50 of some people's big boards. Like that's absurd. Like this wide receiver class is, you know, we'll see if the NFL agrees with what these experts are saying, but like if they are, like this is just absurdly deep, and there's just going to be like, you know, just an embarrassment of riches into the second round of rookie drafts this year.
I completely agree. I was going to say, I think there's probably about 5, maybe 6 names that could definitely, like, depending on landing spots and everything like that are going to fall that you wouldn't think would. So I think the early half of the second round draft is going to be just an extended first round draft.
Yeah. I'm excited. I can't wait to see it play out.
Oh, love it. All right.
All right. Let's talk about some teams. You know, last pod, I think we talked about some of the winning teams. We talked about the championship winners or the, you know, second place finishers or whatever. This week, we're going to talk about the bottom 4. We're going to talk about Steve, Zane, Chris, and Kevin. And I think it's fitting. Let's talk about Steve's team. So, Dan, why don't you kind of give us a rundown, give your kind of general thoughts on how Steve's team looks and what maybe this offseason might contain for Steve's team.
So, obviously, it doesn't look very good. There's a lot of ability to build. But having as many draft picks as he has, if he hits on 50 to 60% of these draft picks, it's a big win. And you're a year and a half ahead of where you need to be in the rebuild process. And I think taking flyers in some of that late where you pick between 8 and 11 is not a bad way to say, I might try and take 2 upside guys and a couple safe guys. And see if I can amplify what I can get out of it. So for Steve, this is the only thing I'm looking at this is how effective can you draft or how effective can you move these picks for actual talent and say, I'd rather take this on a guy I know than go from there. I mean, if you can trade pick 111 and maybe get a seasoned wide receiver that you've seen for 4 years that still is relatively young and is in a new location or a new spot where they can grow, might not be a bad way to go, but it's going to take hell or high water to move 1-1. 1-5 again for me is almost hell or high water. Then when we get down to 8 to 11 for those 4 picks, I wouldn't mind exploring trade options depending on who else is on the board.
Yeah, I mean, like Steve has 6 picks in the first round, 2 second round picks. He has 7 third round picks, and 4 fourth-round picks. Like, Steve has so many picks.
Does he have to drop his fucking roster to fucking make these many draft picks?
Well, you look at his bench.
Well, it's shitty. There's at least 11 players that he has that can be dropped.
Yeah, probably more. Like, I don't know if there's more than like 4 players on his bench that you're like thrilled to roster. So like, he can definitely support this draft class. But I think the biggest thing for Steve, I think, is you're right. Like, we saw it with Sam's team, we saw it with Nick's team through the rebuilding process, is like, at a certain point, you got to be a little bit savvy with these picks and turn them into more safer players. Is that something that'll happen this year? Does Steve maybe wait another year? You know, we'll see. But eventually that's going to happen and it's going to make sense. I think another thing that might make sense is, can he convert these picks into like future year picks? Just to kind of keep like the draft like train like flowing, you know, as we see time and time again, like draft picks are, they're worth their weight in gold. The value like always accrues until you have to make the pick. So like, there are worse bets than just kind of rolling over a draft pick into the next year and maybe picking up an additional asset. So I think those are the big things. And then it's like, you know, just how does, you know, does he add to like kind of his blue chip like arsenal that we saw, you know, Devin Achain turn into, that we saw Dalton Kincaid, that we saw, you know, flashes from Pickens, you know, the tight ends out in Green Bay, like Will Levis maybe, like, does he kind of add to those guys? Because like, this roster with all these picks, and even like the next year in 2025, he still has 2 firsts and he's only got 1 second, but he still has some, like, you know, 2 firsts is always great to have. Like, he's got draft capital, and like, this is a very strong draft just from a dynasty perspective. So I don't know, Steve's in like a really, really good spot. And if he knocks this draft / offseason out of the park, like, I don't know if playoffs are going to be reasonable in 2024, but he's going to be probably the favorite to like make the playoffs in 2025.
Yeah, I mean, are 3 or 4 third round draft picks worth moving up potentially to get a second round draft pick? Or like, I mean, how he's going to use a lot of this draft capital is going to be key, or it's going to be, I'm going to make the picks and hope that the talent I select kind of has a good one. And if it was 50-50, on talent versus bust, it's not a bad return on investment.
Well, and that's like kind of the interesting thing too. Like, we'll talk about Chris shortly, but like, Chris doesn't have a ton of draft capital, but like, maybe Steve is like, I want Marvin Harrison Jr. Chris, here's like the 5th pick and like the 8th pick. I don't care if it's an overpay, but like, here, take 2 firsts. Yeah. Like, you can't say no to that, because you're still going to get a premium wide receiver and then you get a first round pick. Like, Steve is in a position too, like, he just has so much capital that he can slightly overpay if he really wants to like kind of get the guy that he wants, or like a guy that maybe looks a little bit safer. So stuff like that, I think, is going to be fun to watch. And, you know, Steve should be very active, I think, this, you know, rookie draft and offseason.
I mean, if you're not Zane, Chris, Stefan, Kevin, or myself talking to Steve before Steve makes a lot of his picks, just as we do pick ahead of him.
Yeah.
I think we do, as owners, have to do our due diligence. And those people that aren't in the first round, how can you pay up to get into this and give Steve the ability to, like you said, increase his draft capital for years to come?
Yeah, definitely. All right, let's move on to Zane's team. Zane has the 2nd overall pick in this draft, and Zane obviously blew his team up at the start of the 2023 season. And, you know, I think his roster has some good pieces, you know, in the short term. I mean, Jordan Love, it started a little bit up and down, but towards the end of the season, I mean, he looks good. Or, you know, we'll see how that continues into 2024. And then, you know, wide receivers, I mean, Higgins and London, Jameson Williams, Watson, that's pretty rock solid for a young core. Michael Mayer didn't have the best rookie year, but tight ends, you know, can't all be Sam Laporta. It can take a little bit of time to develop. And Javonte Williams, Zamir White, you know, I don't know if they're studs, but I think they're serviceable running backs. So I guess what I'm saying is, outside of like a second quarterback, Steve or Zane has a pretty solid team.
Yeah, I mean,
at least, you know, a setup. I don't know.
Yeah, and with 2 first-round draft picks here and then 3 next year, 4. Zane just needs, oh, he's got 4 firsts. He does. 1, 2, 3, 4. Sorry. Zane kind of is in the make a good decision this year. And I wouldn't necessarily say be safe with your picks, but he's not going to really overly compete. He might get some flash in the pan, win a matchup, win a week, but he plays in a tough division.
Yeah.
And if he can make a good, smart roster decision and future-proof him to get into next year to really maximize on four firsts, big talent, I think that's Zane's big piece, is it's make good decisions this year, survive as best you can, and maximize in 25. And then by 2026, you hope that you are 100% back in the competing for the division status.
Yeah, I think that's 100% right. And I think like guys like, you know, that also means, you know, maybe Javonte Williams, Zamir White, maybe it makes sense to move those guys. You know, maybe it makes sense to kind of, you know, we've seen, you know, I think Sam kind of like did it famously, like having a weaker position, you know, means you don't score a lot of points, means you get a better draft pick. And, you know, having the first overall pick is usually a pretty good thing to position to be in. So I think you're right. Like Zane, it's this is kind of the treading water off season. You know, I think you do the savvy moves, like you maybe pawn up as Zamir White or someone else like that, and you make your picks. But then, you know, 2025 offseason is when you can have some fun.
I agree. I think Zane's in the be good hold pattern, and then I get to be aggressive coming forward. And obviously always wanting to be in the driver's spot like Steve really is in this draft.
Yeah.
It's a big power position.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think one interesting thing now, like for Steve, or going back to Steve's team, I think it's a no-brainer. Like, I think Caleb Williams is the pick. I believe Steve's also a Bears fan, so like I don't think there's going to be any like question about that. I think the real question though, Zane, I think makes sense to take a quarterback, but I also think like Zane could just take Marvin Harrison Jr. And I feel like knowing Zane, like I think he wants to take Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't know if he's going to then feel compelled to take a quarterback just because of the value, but that'll be something to watch too, because then if he only has one quarterback, that also makes having a, you know, high pick in next year's draft like that much easier.
Do you think there's a world where Zane trades back from 2 to 4 or trades back from 2 to 5 and takes 5, 7, 8 so that Steve can pick at 3 or at 2?
I mean, if Steve offers that, yeah, you have to take that. Like that's an absurd amount of value. 5, 7, and 8, or 5, 8, 9.
Any combination of where like those kind of play into, like just you understand you're giving up generational talent so that he can get MHJ, but what you have the ability to rebuild with a couple picks later, and Steve's still in a good spot picking in any combination of those four picks. To Steve gets aggressive, Zane can be aggressive in the reload. Zane obviously passes on Marvin Harrison Jr., but he gets a guy like Malik Nabers, Romo Odunze, like any of these different players that play in there. I think Steve and Zane could get really creative, especially being in opposite divisions, on how they both could be super competitive in a super quick fashion.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be super smart. Like Marvin Harrison Jr. is like, we'll see how the dust settles, but he's probably going to be arguably the biggest sell in Dynasty just because he's going to enter before he even plays it down, it's like the 12th overall pick in like rookie startups, which means like he's at like the Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, CeeDee Lamb tier, which means like there's nowhere else to go but like down. And even if he does succeed, like he goes up like just like 1 point, you know, like there's not really much upside to gain with that pick versus if you take Neighbors of Dunes and Bowers, maybe one of them busts, but like maybe Neighbors is like a top 10 pick and or a top 10 wide receiver and, you know, or Odunze, and Bowers is like a top 3 tight end. Like there's so much more value that you can gain and really close that gap much quicker versus like Marvin Harrison Jr. that's just already starting like at his ceiling and there's no way to go but down. So if Zane could get like an absurd haul, or even Chris for that matter, like if he's looking at Marvin Harrison Jr., I think that's an absolute no-brainer. And I say that as someone that would love to have Marvin Harrison Jr. on my team. I just think if some of the packages that you obviously mentioned, and I think like people are mentioning in the fantasy community are just absurd. I don't think that's not a bet that I would make. Because I don't also think that Marvin Harrison Jr. is at like the Ja'Marr Chase tier. I don't think he's like the generational, like once in a, I mean, I think he's a very, very, very good wide receiver, but I don't think he's Ja'Marr Chase. And like, I wouldn't do a trade like that for Ja'Marr Chase, let alone not Marvin Harrison Jr.
It's a pay to play league, man. And sometimes you got to risk it for the biscuit.
For sure. Absolutely. And obviously got to see landing spot too.
You know, 100%. I mean,
we'll see where Harrison ends
up. Patriots, Cardinals, like any of these different pieces. Yeah.
But if he ends up like in like the Giants and Daniel Jones, like obviously you bet on like the player, but like that's going to be like a real testament to like how people view like the position or the player versus kind of the scheme that he's in, or any wide receiver ends in that position. It's not going to be, it's going to be a real test to who has like a strong will.
Wide receivers catch balls that are in the general vicinity of themselves. If that ball's not in the general vicinity of it, you're absolutely irrelevant.
For sure. All right. Anything else on Zane's team before we move on?
No, I'm good.
All right. Let's talk about Chris's team. Chris has the third overall pick. And I think, well, why don't you kind of start with Chris's team?
Sure. Give me a second to figure out where his team is at. There it is. I mean, obviously the young youth at quarterback is kind of a big, you want to see Bryce Young take that step forward, and you want to see CJ Stroud continue to be consistent. You've got decent wide receivers. You don't have very good running backs. Roshan Johnson, obviously, with the Swift signing, and then Algiers should, dear Christ, thank God he's fucking gone, should play second fiddle to Bijan Robinson. So the running back room's a little tough, and where Chris is at with the one draft pick, I think it's a big, big, big reach to even think about taking a running back at this position.
Yeah.
So can you turn maybe a first for next year and something else in the ability to move back in? But there's a lot of gaps and holes from the running back situation in this room to the tight end situation in this room that you don't feel really excited about. And
you don't feel excited about Trey McBride?
I mean, yeah, to an extent. But again, I don't trust Kyler Murray. And that's my problem to be good with it. And I get it. It's a fault for me. Like, it is what it is. I've been on this high horse since.
You don't respect the Short Kings.
I'm 6'1". I don't have to.
You got to respect the Short
Kings. But I think this is, Chris is in an interesting spot with, he's got just a first, he's got a second, and then he's in the next year with two firsts and two seconds. So this offseason for Chris, I think, is a sell and rebuild with some of the older depth that I have. And if I can get good value on return from competing teams, I'll take it. If I can't get good value, I'm a sitting duck for a fucking year. Like Chris, I think, is in arguably one of the worst spots for a rebuilding team that's out there. And I mean that with all the respect, but I just don't like that situation at all.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't mean this like in a bad way. Like, he kind of reminds me, I think, when you started Dynasty, I feel like you were very move averse and you kind of just relied on like your one draft pick, you know, your two draft picks. And like, yeah, you got a good player, but like, what if you don't get a good player, those players don't work? I mean, you know, I'm not saying it's over for Bryce Young, it's over for Quentin Johnston or some of these other guys, but like, that's not great, you know, what we've seen from those guys so far. And now that, you know, Chris doesn't have like the war chest of picks that we saw Steve and Zane has, but he also arguably has more holes currently on his roster compared to them. So like, yeah, Ja'Marr Chase and CJ Stroud, it's awesome having two guys that are top 10 startup picks. But like Trey McBride, Zay Flowers, yeah, those are good. You know, we'll see what happens with Bryce Young, but like then it just nosedives. And yeah, you're going to get a good player at 1.3, a good player probably at 2.3. But like, you need so much more. Like, if I'm Chris, like we've seen, you know, Sam, Nick, Steve do it, Zane, like it's wheeling and dealing time. You need to like get like pick value for some of these guys because they're only going to go down in value, some of these, like the Tyler Algier, the Roshan Johnson, you know, I don't know. Like I'm worried about Chris's team. And just, I think there's some good moves that have happened here, but I think like there needs to be like a real, aggressive maneuvering to really get his team over the hump.
So I'll be the first person to admit that, and I think you bring up a good point. So I took over my first ever Dynasty League, and we were still playing in this league at that time.
Yeah.
And my first ever Dynasty first-round draft pick was O.J. Howard.
Yeah.
And that was a bust. Do you remember who I picked in year two at 1.2?
Was that Josh Allen?
Nope. That was the following year. Darius fucking Geis.
Darius Geis, that's right, yeah.
And I mean, this just goes to show you that it's like your one pick can completely bust you for that. Yes, the following year I do have Josh Allen. I do get Justin Herbert. Like I have all these pieces that play into my ability to do it, but it's having one pick, it's a fucking, especially early where you think you've got a guy like, I mean, Jaden Daniels, if he falls, could be a bust. If you grab Drake May, could not pan out. I mean, Bryce Young showed that he's on a shitty team and it might not pan out for that. So where do you truly go to find generational talent that you can build around? It's a shit show. And guys like Steve, who have a lot of the draft capital, have a better chance of going 1 for 6 than you do going 1 for 1.
1,000% right. You're absolutely right. So, I mean, like, and that's where it's interesting. Like, if I'm Steve, like, I don't know if I'm super aggressive in moving up. But at the same time, like, if you want to move up, like, Steve can have a real enticing offer with 8, 9, 10, and even throw in 5. Like, if Chris wants to recoup some draft picks, you know, if Stefan, you know, wants to, you know, maybe try to get more younger, you know, if Zane's, like, not really sure about picking at, like, the second overall spot, like, if Steve wants to tango, like, those guys have to, like, pick up the phone and, like, answer because it's almost too good to resist if that opportunity presents itself.
So just curious. So you're Chris. And Steve goes, hey, here's what I'll do. I'll give you 5 and I'll give you 10. But you got to give me 3.
100%. I'm doing it. I'm accepting it. It's not even a discussion. If I get 5 in like a first, like that is a slam dunk. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, especially if Marvin Harrison Jr. is on the board, you've got a Malik Nabers, like you have some of these guys where, I mean, we could be thrown for a shit show and Steve could go through and be like, nah, fuck it, give me MHJ to start.
Yeah.
I think that's what he does, but that could throw a complete fucking Jerry shit show into this with grabbing Kyle Pitts and saying, I'll take Zach Wilson later on.
Well, gun to my head, I think Zane's taking Marvin Harrison Jr. I think it's going to go Caleb and I think it's going Marvin Harrison Jr., assuming like Zane keeps the pick, but I think it's going to be Marvin Harrison Jr. So then the question starts at 3. Does Chris trade the pick? Is it going to be quarterback 2? Is it going to be Neighbors, Adunze, Bowers? Who knows?
I mean, and this is where I think we're going to see a lot of movement depending on where the picks are. And are we a 24-hour time limit? Like, I play in so many fucking leagues that it doesn't matter. Are we 24 hours, or is it be reasonable with it and don't be a fucking clown about making moves?
So it's like 12 hours, but it pauses overnight. So it's like effectively 24 hours. So because it's like
8 to 8 a.m.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So yeah. So, but like plenty of time. And like, especially since Steve has all the picks, you're going to have plenty of time to negotiate or do something if you want, you know, to acquire some stuff.
Yeah, I think Chris is definitely in a move down spot in this situation, but I think the move down possibilities are limited because the last thing you want to do is move down out of this year's first round.
And oh, yeah.
How that's not limited enough. it is, you just don't feel good. And I don't know if Stefan's draft capital, Kevy's draft capital, my draft capital kind of equate to saying, hey, I'm going to come up and make sure I pay you for doing that.
Yeah. I mean, I think regardless, like Chris needs to, I think, start making some aggressive moves and just acquiring, like, just get more bullets in the chamber, you know, so you can take more chances. Yes. Yep. And, you know, trading, you know, 1.3, it's not ideal, but if you get like 5 and 10, that's a no-brainer. So I don't know. We'll see. Maybe it doesn't. It probably won't happen, but something to monitor, maybe.
I agree.
All right. And the last team we're going to talk about is Dan's personal favorite, Mr. Kevin. He has the 6th pick, but is it technically does he normally have in the draft?
I think he's picking four, but Stefan.
So he's normally the fifth pick, but he's picking six. But anyways, so talk about Kevin's team.
I mean, obviously the gap here is quarterback. Mariota is going to be playing for a position, so I think Washington's going to go young. Stafford's going to be great, but Bennett's older than dirt. Howell obviously is competing, so you don't have a lot of solidified options. Gainwell and Dobbins, again, are not great options for your backfield pieces, but picking at six is kind of a reach with the talent that's still going to be on the board at the running back position.
Yeah.
Does Kevin take this opportunity to move down with Steve as well and say, hey, by the way, like, you can come up, grab one of these guys that you want, give me the ability to move back, maybe get some running back depth where I need to, maybe get the additional quarterback spot that I need to, and kind of go there. But again, for Kevin, the tight end spot is suspect. Ferguson, I think, is great, but depth after that is kind of rough. Nakua, great. Deontay Johnson going down to Carolina, questionable. Hollywood Brown gets an uptick. Gabe Davis, is that an uptick or a downtick? Going from
downtick.
Downtick. Yeah, it's a downtick. Downtick. Just
your boy, like, Jesus.
I try not to fucking go too big. I've got his jersey. God bless my godson, Robin. But, like, the wide receiver depth also is kind of, with Mike Williams not having a home, some of these other guys that aren't flashy. Kevy's got some okay options, but Kevy also isn't flashy in the pan.
No, he's not. But at the same time, I mean, Kevin's got, like,
he's got 4 second-round draft picks.
He's got 4 second-round draft picks, and he's also got, like, the players, like, if you want to be heavily invested in one position, you want it to be wide receiver. So between Deontay Johnson, Puka Nakua, Hollywood Brown, Gabe Davis, Tank Dell, you know, throw in Mike Wilson, throw in Mike Williams, throw in Brandon Cooks, Elijah Moore, Khalil Shakir, like, I'm not saying all these guys are, like, slam dunks, but, like, those are, like, good pieces for, like, a rebuilding team to have. And, like, Kevin could move those guys for likely some decent to maybe good value, depending on who he's moving. So I think, like, Kevin, for me, this all starts with, like, what he does with 1.6. I think in an ideal world, a top 10 quarterback falls to him. Just makes sense. You know, pairing that with Stafford, you know, gets younger, you know, a top 10 quarterback, like, very, very safe player in theory in dynasty. Like, normally they're going to get like four years to start. Again, normally. So I think for Kevin, you're hoping, you know, that's probably JJ McCarthy. But I think that's probably like the best case scenario, I think, for Kevin's team. But even like not, you know, six is still going to get like a hell of a player. Like, even if only 3 quarterbacks go in the top 10 for whatever reason, still means he's going to have one of like Neighbors, Marvin Harrison Jr. or Adunze or Bowers. Like, six is going to get a very, very good player. So Kevin's in a good spot for that aspect. I think, like, the question is, you know, Kevin doesn't have his first round pick in 2025. He does have Armand's pick, but Armand's team is, you know, kind of on the uppity up, so it might not be a high pick. But Kevin still has a lot of holes to fill. Well,
first and 26.
Yeah, so I mean, like, Kevin just kind of remains in, like, that state of limbo. And then the fact that, like, the division might be weak again, like, I don't know what Kevin does. He's got a lot of wide receiver depth. Like, could he convert that into a, you know, it's my team, but could he convert that into Russell Wilson? Could he convert that into, like, a running back, like, you know, maybe Zeke lands back in Dallas, or, you know, Ramondre Stevenson, you know, something like that. Like, he fills like his holes, and then all of a sudden Kevin has a contending team. I don't know. He could go that route. Or does he pawn those guys off maybe for picks and kind of rebuild? Like, Kevin's kind of continually floated in that limbo state, and I truthfully don't know where he's going to go. And I don't even know if Kevin knows where he's going to go as of today. But
yeah. So let me ask you this. So would you feel more comfortable being in Chris's situation or Kevin's situation?
Kevin's, not even close.
Okay. Just making sure.
Yeah, Kevin just has way more pieces to work with. Like, Kevin still has work to do, don't get me wrong. Like, Kevin's not just at a point where he can just chill. But Kevin, like, with all these wide receivers, with all these second round picks, with all, like, you know, he still has, you know, at least a first, like, next year. It's not ideal that he doesn't have his first, but, like, Kevin can still do a lot of moves. Like, Chris, unfortunately, like, just doesn't have a lot of movable pieces. He's got the premium talent, obviously, in, like, Stroud and Chase, you know, Flowers, McBride. Mm-hmm. Like, those are exciting. You know, 1.3, that's exciting. But, like, after that, like, he needs, like, an injury or, like, a trade, like, in real life for, like, some of these players to gain value. Because, like, he missed the opportunity on a Roschon Johnson, you know. Quentin Johnson, like, maybe he rebounds, you know, maybe Bryce Young rebounds, like, we'll see. But Chris needs way more things to, like, bounce his way and go get lucky. Kevin can just capitalize on his current roster, I think.
I completely agree with everything you just said.
All right, well, anything else in this pod that we missed or need to go over, Dan? It's already been a long one.
I mean, yeah, we're over, we're an hour and 15.
70 minutes, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully we can get one more pod in before, like, the draft happens.
Yeah, we will.
This is really going to set up to see kind of the activity we're going to see pre-draft versus post-draft. And obviously, yeah, you know, the post-draft activity is going to be because of landing spots and everything like that. But, I mean, we're in a very intriguing situation where Steve does control a lot of this. He controls a ton of it. And guys like Zane, Chris, Stefan, Kevin, and myself, which are the other portions of this first round, really need to be, I mean, if Steve's not blowing us up to ahead of time, just say, hey, if this plans out, what are we doing with this? What are we doing with this? I think Steve needs to be the biggest guy that knows he's going to have to put in work over the next week when we start the draft to say, hey, like, here we go. And guys that are outside of the first round that might want to move back in, I mean, it's going to be tough, but.
Well, I think you're hitting up Steve, but also, like, you know, because Steve also, like, what if he wants, like, you know, a Brandon Ayuk, or, you know, he wants, like, a young wide receiver. He wants, like, a younger player. Like, yeah, I might not have first-round picks, or Nick might not have any picks, or Sam, but, like, maybe, like, a player, like, makes sense to trade for, and, like, that you can match up that way. So I think, like, everyone, like, Steve's at the point where he doesn't need just picks. Like, he can definitely acquire players. So I think everyone can definitely engage in a dialogue. And, yeah, it's an exciting time. I mean, this is the fun part of Dynasty, even if you're not participating, just because the new rookies and seeing, you know, who comes in, it's always just, I at least find it very enjoyable.
I mean, we're 44 days out from the draft, and, well, from when we start our draft, but obviously we're a couple days sooner for the NFL draft.
Yeah.
But life's going to be fun. I mean, Nick, I'll ask you this one last question before I'm good with it. Draft day tradition. Do you have any?
Like NFL draft or rookie draft?
NFL draft.
NFL draft. Ah, well, I know your tradition, I think. Okay.
Go ahead.
Because you watch draft day the night before, right?
Yes. Yeah. Every day.
Yeah, we watched that together once.
Awful movie, but fucking
so bad it's good.
Yeah. So 100%.
No, I don't really have anything. I mean, I just love consuming content. So I, like, read all, like, the mocks and the speculation and try to, like, keep up with all that. But hopefully this year I'm in Detroit and maybe I can see Caleb Williams or someone up close and personal.
Here's hoping, baby. Here's hoping.
Yeah. But all right, we'll definitely be doing at least one more podcast before the draft. We still have four teams to kind of recap. And then, you know, maybe we can kind of do a recap on the season, maybe a redo of the last year's rookie draft or something fun like that. But, or maybe we'll see a trade in the league that we need to talk about. Wink,
options,
wink.
Options, options.
But all right, guys, until next time, it's been a pleasure. Peace.